If you're new, if you're visiting with us, we are thrilled that you're here. No matter where you are in your journey, if you are somebody who is a follower of Christ, great. If you are somebody who's like, I'm just checking out this God stuff, I don't know if I buy any of it, great. We want you here. Welcome to everybody. We're going to open in a word of prayer. We're going to sing together. We're going to look to the Word, and we're going to start a new series together. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for all that you are doing in our midst. I thank you for last week and Sherry getting up here and sharing some of her story and that series that we went through. God, I thank you so much for your faithfulness to this church as we try to figure out what is it that you want us to do in our community. How do we best love people? How do we love our community? Lord, as we sing this morning, we pray that you're glorified, that it's just a pleasing sound to you. We pray that as we lift you up, as we look to your word, Lord, that you would encourage us and show us how to follow you more closely. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, back from a wonderful vacation. It was awesome. We did everything in the Tampa area with my grandchildren because Josh and Kristen were celebrating 10 years of marriage, and they took a trip to Italy, and so we went down to watch Colton and Chloe and Calvin, and then it was a couple of months ago, Colton, the youngest one, he said to his mother, "Do you remember Auntie Shara?" It was soon after that, Auntie Shara and Jake and her family had tickets to come down to Florida with us for the week as well. That's what we joke. She claims that wasn't true. They were coming anyway. But Colton has a special bond with Auntie Shara. There's no doubt about it. And Uncle Jake. I mean, I walked, on average, 13,000 steps a day. Now, I know when you look at me, you think, well, that must have been less than normal. No. That is about, 12,080 steps more than normal. The last day, I walked 17,000 steps, which you're getting into miles. So to be honest, this is how I feel today. I was on this train with Ethan. That was at Gatorland, and I think I dozed off laying on top of his head. But what an awesome time it was. And so for those of you who might have come last week, you got to hear Sherry speak. Our ministry here, we have a team approach. I get to be the leader of the team. In most churches, we just say lead pastor or whatever. I don't like it when people introduce me as Pastor Scott. I find out that normally if I'm having a conversation with somebody and they're talking to me and just being normal, as soon as somebody calls me Pastor Scott, that stops. Like, we're not going any further with this conversation. People would just check out. And so our team approach here is I can go away, and there's no problem at all, except maybe when Ray gets here and knocks over the camera. that occasionally might happen. I need to let you know that I am a photographer. I love animals. And you know how people will say they have their spirit animal? I don't buy all that, but if I were to have a spirit animal, it would probably be the capybara. It might be the sloth. Or the third favorite animal is the manatee. Now, if you notice my animal grouping, there's not a lot of action there. not a whole lot of action. Pretty easy going. We got with capybaras, they are just, if you don't know what a capybara is, it's a giant guinea pig. It's a giant guinea pig. They can be 150 pounds. They are the size of a large dog, and they are part of the rodent family. They're part of the rodent family. Now, Katie used to get all grossed out by capybaras. There's now a lizard dragon in their house that she has to feed crickets to. So I don't want to hear it anymore. I don't. If you can handle that bearded dragon thing, not handling it. So the capybaras, they're like just a big dog, and they're a friend to everyone. I mean, you see pictures of them riding on the backs of gators. They are just so chill, just so relaxed. The sloth, same thing, just kind of hanging out. The manatee, he's not causing any problems for anybody. He just like to come up, eat 50 pounds of lettuce a day. This is another thing that I would like to point out. The manatee eats 50 pounds of lettuce a day. So you guys who keep telling me I need more salad, shut up. That's not working. So you look at this. Well, the reality is that I kissed a capybara. I kissed a capybara, and I liked it. You know the song. So we had a great vacation. We did so many things. The kids ran us ragged, and boy, did we have a blast. And it's good to be back. It'll take a few days to recover. You notice my wife is not here. My boss makes me work on Sunday mornings, but she has to go to work tomorrow as a teacher. But we're starting a new series called We Are the Church. If you noticed, a couple series ago, we talked about we are Easter people. And then we went to we are and people, here, locally, and there. Wherever God calls us to be involved and be his hands and feet, we're going to get involved. And now this series, We Are the Church. And then the next series, this series will be about 4 weeks. The next series I'm excited about is We Are New. It's a series subtitled We Do Recover. We Do Recover. And in our congregation, in our group of people, there are those of us who have recovered from things that have just been devastating in our lives. There are those of us who have recovered from addiction and alcoholism. Those of us who have recovered from major medical problems. Those of us who have recovered and seen life come back together after losing a loved one. Those of us who have recovered after being wrecked when we thought life would never be the same because divorce happened. Those of us who went through. So most of the summer, we're going to be talking about we are new. That in Christ, we have an opportunity to begin again, a fresh start. But for this series, we are the church. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell, the powers of hell, will not conquer it. Okay? They will not stand up to it. So for the next 4 weeks, today is just going to be an overview. Next week, we'll talk about inside the church. What is the church, and how do we respond to one another in the church? And then the week following, okay, so if we are inside the church and we are this church, this group of people, how do we respond outside of the church? And then the final week, we're going to talk about why we do the things we do here. Every local church is different and has its own thing. So I thought this morning we would start off by explaining some things and getting us a little bit on the same page. You guys, some of you have seen, you should have seen by now, our logo, right? This is our logo, and but you've probably looked at it and never really looked to see, well, what is it? what does it mean? What does it mean? Well, first, historically, we are First Baptist Church for 136 years. This building has been First Baptist Church. It was planted by Scottish immigrants as First Baptist Church, and it's always been First Baptist Church. But for the unchurched population in today's world, the Baptist part, for people who are looking and going, what are you? What are you about? The Baptist part really throws some of them for a loop. It presents a barrier. Now, we could have renamed the church. I thought, you know, you got East Point, you got Cross Point, you got North Point. I thought, you know, like, what's the point? We thought of becoming pointed, you know, maybe we need to be pointing like everybody else. But every time we say where we are or what we're doing, people will say, oh, the old First Baptist Church? Yes. This is a puzzle to me. When we will post, like, we're having a dinner, a free community dinner, which last night, 215 meals. What's real now is you see 100 or so come, and then we have to-go meals going out all over the place. To-go meals going to the homeless encampments, to-go meals. So we might see 100 or 150 here, and then now it goes as well. That started happening during COVID, and I think that's here to stay. And it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing because people are being fed. But anyway, so what was I talking about? Oh, yeah, the notes here. But for the unchurched, they look at the word Baptist and they might go, ugh. David Kinnaman had a book called Unchurched, and he did some research with the Barna Group. And the perception with the word Baptist to the outside world, these are the words that came up. That people outside might look at us and say, well, hypocritical, too political. Man, that's a thing now, right? Right now, whew. Sheltered, not based in reality, pushy, insensitive, unwelcoming, judgmental, lack of compassion. And you know what? I remember the last time I referenced this, I had somebody within the church respond to me and say, well, who cares what they think? Tough. That's who we are. We stand for Jesus, and that's all it is. And I said, this list really doesn't look like Jesus to me. It doesn't look at all like Jesus to me. Now, to be absolutely clear, I don't believe this list up here is us at all in our community. I think we have a different reputation in our community, and I'm thankful for it. And I'm thankful for it. I think our reputation is much the opposite of that. And how cool is that, that God has built that? So what is FBC Westbrook, when we abbreviate it? What is Love Westbrook? What is FBC Westbrook? I think it allows us to marry who we are as First Baptist Church with FBC Westbrook being a faith-building community. See, a faith-building community, when somebody asks me, what's FBC Westbrook? I have the opportunity to say, we believe in being the hands and feet and doing what Jesus said to do. That's it. Did you look at our mission statement? It's huge, right? That's our mission statement. It didn't take a board 2 years to craft this. We didn't have 4 committee votes and then 4 church meetings to be like, as the Church of First Baptist Church, wherein hereby we have decided that we exist for the purpose of discipleship, and being that discipleship shall yield its discipline into the believers and unto... Wah! How about boiling it down to what Jesus said? And so we boiled it down that we're going to love God, we're going to love others, all others, and we're going to try to live like Jesus. That's it. That's it. That's our mission statement. So when we take this list of words and we say we are a faith-building community of people, it marries the two together. So the first thing, the cross. We find new life, purpose, and identity in Jesus Christ. Everybody knows, you even if you had nothing to do with the church, you probably heard John 3:16, right? John 3:16, God loved the world so much, for God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would never perish, but would have eternal life. Wow, so cool, and we end there. But then verse 17 adds to that. Somebody stand up and read that. John 3:17, look it up. If you don't have a Bible, take one of those with you out of the pew. The Bible's a library, by the way. Don't start reading in Genesis, Exodus. You're going to read those two and go, whoa, look at these stories, pretty cool. Then you're going to get to Leviticus, which is a law book, and you're going to go, ugh. You know, you're going to go, I don't know. Okay, so it's not a novel, it's a library, okay? And if you're new to it, start in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to read about the person of Jesus, his character, and what he did. What was his personality like? So John 3:17 says what, Tom? And see, God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world. Then why are so many churches so condemning? Why? It's right there. That God loved the world so much, he loved you so much, he loved me so much, that he said, I want to be together with you, my creation, for all eternity, and I am making this way possible through giving myself, pouring myself into my son to pay the price, to make you righteous and perfect in my eyes. I'm doing that. And we translate that to a condemnation or judgment. We say, no, he didn't send Jesus to condemn you, but to rescue. But to rescue. So where did he rescue? On the cross. And in John 10:10, Jesus said this. He said, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. And I can put that in there and say, I believe the world's purpose, the dog-eat-dog world that we have, the enemy's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus said this, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Hang on. Not rich, as in Sunday morning mega church preacher rich. Okay? Your goodness is running after me. We're singing. That doesn't mean life is always good. That means that God, even in the midst of our addiction, is still good. God, even in the midst of us falling again and falling again and falling again, his character doesn't change. He's always good. That's what that means. Okay, so when Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full, have it in abundance, he meant good life. That you look and say, even though things around me are bad, God is good. That's why we can stand, and I could say, like, you know, that 12 years ago when I had a liver transplant and we faced death and we lost everything, I could still say without a doubt, God is good. God is good. They say, Scott, but how's your life? My life stinks. Right now, it stinks. I hate it. I hate what is happening to me right now.
But God is good. So Jesus, when he said that his purpose was to give them a rich, satisfying life, I mean, I'm giving them meaning. I'm giving them fulfillment. I'm giving you that you don't have to run around pleasing everybody else. It's not that. Abundance means God took you. He said, I'm going to take Skylar. She's a 12-ounce container. And I'm going to pour my spirit into her. And I'm going to go, she's 12 ounces. You're a 12-ounce bottle. What? No, you're a 16.9 fluid ounce bottle. And so God says, I am giving life in abundance to Skylar. Here it comes. Boom! He gives you 18 ounces. That's what abundance means. It means too much. It means, Scott, when I fill my coffee, I fill my coffee cup in abundance. So much so, I put the cover on and I get coffee everywhere. How many of you do that? Yep, we do that. I just add a little bit more cream, right? That's abundance. That's the life that Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have it in abundance. Abundance. We find forgiveness, new beginnings, hope, new life, new perspectives in Jesus. And so the second one, the bridge part of our logo. We discover community and build friendships as we follow Christ together. As we follow Christ together, he's the bridge. Christ is a bridge between man and God, okay? Between man and God. And he's also the bridge between you and I. You know, when God was creating the earth, you know, that story, the story is he made this and he said, it's good. And he made that, and he said, oh, that's good. And then he made this, he said, woo, oh, that's good. And then it came to a point where he said, not so good. You know when that point was? When he saw that man was alone. We as human beings are not meant, we're not meant to be alone. So this community that God has created, and we're going to hear about that next week, this community called the church is a community that carries one another's burdens. It's a community that cares about each other. It's a community that prays for each other, and we share the things that are going wrong. Guys, I've been part of so many churches during my life that have been a great acting school. You know, where you scream at each other all the way driving to church. And then you walk through the door and say, praise the Lord, brother. I'm like, gag. If you can't be real here, you can't be real anywhere. So we are in this bridge where we discover community, and as we discover community, we build friendships and we come together. We're also a bridge to our community. You see, we can go out, and we can go out knocking on everybody's doors. And we can be like, I could be approaching this man's house, coming up his walkway. His Ring doorbell's already told him I'm coming. He said to his whole family, hide. Somebody's coming to the door. How many times they say that on Facebook? Anybody notice somebody coming to people's doors today? This is why you have doors. So people can come to them. That's called a walkway. You know that welcome mat you put out? It says, welcome. It doesn't say, post on Facebook and tells everybody, there's a creepy guy coming to my door today. Some little kid is out there going around. Well, you know, it's Girl Scout season. Chill. Would you be a capybara or a manatee or a sloth for crying out loud? Relax. But anyway, we could go all around. We could be like, I'm going to this guy's door. Knock, knock, knock. He's hiding. He might be texting his neighbor. Hide, they're coming. Knock, knock, knock.
Hide, they're coming. Knock, knock, knock. This guy's dumb enough that he answers the door.
Hello.
He answers the door, and I say, hello, will you allow me to tell you about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? We can do that. We can do that. When I went to seminary, I was told, they have statistics for everything, okay? They say that somebody will respond to an invitation to follow Christ. It's like after 7.5 exposures. 7.5 exposures. And some people take that to mean they need 7.5 to knock on the door. I'm always like, how do you get that 0.5? Does he finish like halfway? And let me tell you, and then Jesus, he went to the cross. Sorry, that was my 0.5, so now you should come, right? We could do that, but we believe that the bridge that God has given us is a bridge that shows the community, we love you guys. Where, if you're hungry, we're going to feed you. If you have a need, we're going to help meet that need. We start working with our city and saying to our city leaders, we're here to help. What is it you need? How can we help? And they say, we have a tremendous problem with addiction. There's people are overdosing. And so we have this craft fair, and then we give them, the police department, $3,000 to say, this is to help fund your opioid addiction position. The city went, what? See, because they're not used to that. They're used to the church showing up every time we're mad about something. What if we showed up to say, we're here for you and part of the solution? See, as we show people love, people begin to say, I want some more of that. Paul called it always being ready to give an answer for the hope that is within you. Our lifestyle, how we live, what we do should cause people to ask questions. Why do you do that? Why do you live like that? That's the question. And then the last part of it, the growth. The growth. We experience spiritual and personal growth through applying Christ's teachings. As we explore more and more about the Jesus of the Bible, not CNN Jesus, not YouTube Jesus. Did you notice the rapture didn't happen during the eclipse? It didn't happen. Unless we go to Rapture, Indiana, and they're all gone. But I think that would have been on the news, right? YouTube, everybody can open a YouTube channel. Every person here. Leslie could go viral for her YouTube thing and be like, start spewing whatever she wants. So we're not following the YouTube Jesus. We're not following the CNN Jesus. We're not following the Fox News Jesus. We're not following that Jesus. We're looking to what Scripture says. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We look at the life of Christ and we start to see, oh, this is how Jesus handled these situations. So you know what? That's how I'm going to handle it. You theology buffs, get ready, take some notes. We're going to talk, the word is called sanctification. Write it down, sanctification. It's three parts. There are three aspects of sanctification. I already see some of the others of you nodding off. There are three aspects of sanctification. The first one is positional sanctification. Positional sanctification is at that moment, at that time when we say, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. What I've been doing, I've been walking this way, and it's going bad. It's going the wrong way. I feel like, what am I doing this for? So I'm going to turn around and go follow you. He had an expression in Hebrew times in Jesus' day, they had an expression that was a wish for somebody's wellness, where they would say, you know, Greg, may you be covered by the dust of your rabbi. Might you follow your rabbi so close that you are covered in his dust. May you be covered by the dust of your rabbi. That positional sanctification comes when we've said, Jesus, what I'm doing, man, it's not working, it's not coming together, so I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow you. One of you guys can shut those doors if you want. Or not. I just see you all looking that way. So that's called positional sanctification. The second one, progressive sanctification, is this. It's ongoing transformation through our lives. It's the process of our lives walking with the Holy Spirit. And the last aspect of sanctification is in that place of ultimate sanctification when we reach heaven. When we reach glory, what a day that will be. But see, in real language, it's Jesus makes you good enough. And as you walk following him, you start to figure things out. You stink at it at first. Some people are like, you know, I told Jesus, I prayed, I said, I want to follow you and I want to do this. And then the next day, you know, I fell off the wagon. So it didn't work. No, still worked. Jesus' forgiveness is still there, still for you, still resident, still covering everything you did before and everything you do after. He has made you righteous by his blood. And then we progress. In Matthew 28, 19 to 20, it says this, we know it as the Great Commission, right? Therefore, go and make disciples. Disciples are followers. They're people who follow something. That's following after something. That's how you get their dust on you, the dust of your rabbi, is by following after. So go and make disciples of all, we're and people, nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new followers to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this. This is Jesus. I am with you. I am with you always. When you do it right, when you do it wrong. When you're up, when you're down. I'm with you always. Just keep going. Just keep going. So the local church is this.
Churches are full of people. The broken, the lonely, the wanderers, the hopeful, the enthusiastic, the lost, the passionate, and the faithful. For many, this gathering represents the whole of their church experience. They'll listen attentively to a message, they'll sing a few songs, they'll be invited to pray, and then they'll return to their lives. But for some, questions will start bubbling to the surface of their faith. Is this the extent of what Jesus intended for his followers? Who is the church for? Why does the world need the church? And what is the church after all? Well, the church isn't the building where people attend weekly services. It's not a program, a list of rules, or a philosophy. The church isn't a political affiliation, a country club, or a holiday tradition. The church was never intended to be just an assembly of people wearing nice clothes and saying nice things. The church is all the followers of Jesus everywhere. The Greek word for church is the word ekklesia. It's the combination of two words, ek, which means out, and kaleo, meaning called. Thus, the church, the ekklesia, means the called out ones. In other words, the church, the collective body of all the followers of Jesus everywhere, is called out by someone for something, for a purpose. The beginning of the book of Acts has Jesus calling his disciples to a task, bringing something called the gospel, the good news, to all the world. And this gospel would go out to all the outsiders, the forgotten, the abandoned, and the excluded. And they, those outsiders, would see and receive that good news as actually good. When Jesus talked about the gospel, it was always in conjunction with something else, something called the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, God's purposes are made apparent. There's justice and righteousness. There's hope for the poor and for the oppressed. And under the kingdom of God, mercy and forgiveness take precedence over bitterness and resentment. Now, people previously deemed to be far from God are brought into his family, adopted as his sons and daughters. And the fullness of the kingdom of God, according to Jesus, is not merely expressed as a way for people to escape an evil world when they die. Rather, the good news of God's kingdom is about the announcement of God's eternity, moving into the present world and carrying on into the life to come. The people who belong to Jesus join him in his worldwide restoration project. And the called out ones, the church, are committed to advancing this good news of God's kingdom into the world, not as a means of helping people avoid the world, but rather to see God's kingdom life being made real here and now. The whole church, with the power of the whole gospel for the whole world.
The whole church, the whole gospel, the whole world. Now, I mentioned I'm a photographer. I saw this scene while we were, I think, at the zoo, Tampa Zoo. And I thought, as I'm photographing these Inca terns, they're cool little birds with mustaches, these two birds were just fighting like crazy, like while a little fish was sitting right next to them. It was feeding time. And the zookeepers had put out the fish, and they know the names of each of the birds by their leg bands, and their job is to make sure they feed each bird the appropriate amount of fish. That's what their role is. These two just spent their time fighting. What a racket. They're just going at each other. And I'm like, could I get your Facebook account? Could I get your social media? I've seen these two people in churches. I've seen them at annual meetings. And the food is right there. It's right there. And then swoops down this guy. He comes down, he lands, he looks at him. Grabs the fish, flies away. And I was like, my goodness, there's so much of this going on. And while our music team comes up to close us, if you're in life in a position where you feel like more of your life is spent this way, where more of your life, more of your marriage, more of everything you do is spent this way, our God has placed the answer right near you and said, I have this for you. I have the answer for you. I have new and abundant life for you. I have the food for you. All you got to do is take it. Take it. And I thought, I got to use this image in a sermon. And so I did. So hopefully you'll remember, as we look at what we are as a church, that we are called out not to be these guys, but to be this guy saying, come over here. We found the answer. We found the peace. We found the trouble, even when, we found the solution, even when the trouble is overwhelming you. We've found when you're in depression, we've found the steps and the place to begin where you're going to find support and people who love you no matter how hard things get. We found it. Come on over. Have some of my fish. If you're in the market for a group of messed up people who don't always get it right, we'd love for you to find a place to belong with us. Come on back, search with us, find with us, get covered by the dust of your rabbi. This week, have a great week, and everybody make sure that you say happy birthday to Sally, because she's 88 years old today. So say happy birthday to Sally on your way out. Lord, go with us now, we pray in Jesus' name.